I tell you what, if there's any doubt about how much Satan does not want us to hear him, hear God this morning, we've kind of ran the gamut this morning, haven't we? Our equipment is acting up, our video is acting up, and Brian's voice was acting up, and all three of those are kind of very unusual, aren't they? We appreciate you, brother. I'm here to tell you it's not easy to stand up here and do a special. Every one of you that stand before the church and do that realize that. It makes it even harder when you feel like you've made a mistake and just to stop and start back over. It was worth the wait, brother. We thank you. I said in Sunday school class this morning, Satan is really, really working hard this morning. And I think it's because he doesn't want us to get some very good information about how it is and what we need to do to hear from God. As a matter of fact, Satan will do whatever he can do. He will try to confuse us. He will try to distract us. Sometimes he's just satisfied with us getting the wrong information. As Brian was doing that last song that we all sang with him, yes, thank you, in the garden. I was reminded about a little boy who was in Sunday school, and they were talking about Jesus. They were talking about God, obviously. And the teacher had been going on to them about the different names of Jesus. And so she thought that they all pretty well had it down. And so she finally just put that question out there. She said, okay, who can tell me what God's son's name is? And they were all sitting there thinking, and there's always a little Johnny, isn't there? Johnny raised his hand, a big old smile on his face. And she said, okay, Johnny, we'll stand up. And Johnny stands up. And she says, now what is God's son's name? And she was waiting, obviously, to hear Jesus. And a big old smile on his face. He said, his name is Andy. And she sat there for a minute, and she looked at him, and she said, Andy? Where did you get Andy? He said, well, that song we sang just a minute ago, Andy walks with me and he talks with me. That sounded a whole lot better when I started it. But anyway, it makes the point, doesn't it? Satan would like to deter us off from what God wants us to do and wants us to hear from him. As a matter of fact, we are talking about this spiritual battle. And I think we understand, you can watch on the news, you can see it on newspapers, magazines, wherever you want to, but every time you open it up, you're hearing about the great cost that America pays for communication with its military. There are some of the most cutting-edge things. I was reading an article this last week that talked about millions upon billions of dollars that are spent every year upgrading and making the communication lines better. We understand, I think all of us understand, victory in a battle is critical. It's critical to have good communication. Amen? We understand that in our own family lives. Just to keep everything going on the right track, we've got to have communication, don't we? If you doubt that, about what, 2 weeks ago, week and a half ago, the cell towers are actually, it wasn't the towers. I happened to be over in that area and talking to Jana, and she told me that somebody had hit one of AT&T's main trunk lines, and our towers were down, our home phones were down. How many of y'all felt lost during that time? Go ahead and raise your hand. We didn't know what to do. Communication is vital. So it is with our spiritual walk with God. As a matter of fact, throughout Scripture, the Scripture tells us that God spoke. And it says, and God said this, and God said that. And it's critical. It's critical to them. It's critical to us. So how do we know? How can we get that information? Well, it's really pretty simple, and that is you've got to get tuned in. Now, I usually turn my cell phone off, and I'm glad I didn't, because I turned it back on because I had two text messages for me. Thank you, Tish. Appreciate that. But right now there are waves going through this building, cell phone waves, aren't they? We can't hear them. You didn't get the text message that I got because it wasn't sent to you. It was sent to me. You got to have the right tuner, in essence, to use the old school idea. You got to be able to tune into it, don't you? The same thing applies. There are TV waves going through here. There's internet waves. There's all kinds of waves, sound waves that are going through, carrying information at lightning, beyond lightning speed. But we don't see it, and you don't receive it unless you turn on the tuner and tune it into it. Same thing with the microphones. The handheld microphones, the wireless microphones, they're sending waves back there to where Tim is at, and there's a receiver back there receiving them. If that receiver is not tuned in and turned on, are we going to get that? Are you going to get the words? No. So it is with our spiritual life. And that's why I want to talk to you. I think it's vital. Evidently, Satan thinks it's vital too, that we hear from God in this spiritual battle. And as Jennifer told the story with the kids, we're going to look at the story of the soils. A lot of times it's called the parable of the seeds, but there's nothing wrong with the seed. The problem was the soil. It was what soil received that seed. So I like it better, as Jennifer said, it's more appropriately called the parable of the soils. And each one of those are talking about how we hear, how we perceive. It says, Luke chapter 8, again, verse 8 says, "He who hears has ears to hear, let him hear." Let me just tell you very quickly, first of all, three things. Why is it important for us to hear God? Well, I think the first reason that it's important for us to hear God is because it proves that we're a part of God's family. That's that first blank that you have on your sheet. It proves that we're a part of God's family. Jesus himself said in John 10:27, "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me." When we hear from God, it verifies that we are believers. It verifies that we have a relationship with God. Now, if we want to take that a little bit further and say, well, if I'm not hearing from God, what does that mean? That means you need to spend some more time evaluating that relationship. Amen? It proves that we are believers. The second thing is it helps us to avoid, or it protects us from making mistakes. I can't tell you how many times in my life, just because we listened to God, he kept me from getting into a trap, into some pit hole or some landmine, or go off the road some way. It's not always a lot of words. Sometimes it's no. Amen. Now, how many of y'all really like it when he says no? Yeah, we don't. We like the other one when he says, yeah, go ahead. Yes. A lot of times it's just no. Sometimes it's some other words, and it's not a whole lot of them. Sometimes it's just watch out. But if we listen to God, it's important we listen to God, because it proves that we have a relationship with him. It also protects us from mistakes. And on the opposite side of that card, it helps us to produce success in our life. It produces success in our life. Success being that we will be exactly what God wants us to be. So we know that when we listen and we hear from God, it lets us know we have a relationship with him. It helps protect us from making mistakes, and it makes sure we're going on the right path. So the big question where I want to spend the most time this morning is how do we hear from him? A lot of us have selective hearing. Ladies, quit poking your husbands when I said that, please. A lot of us have selective hearing. The problem with selective hearing is you might select the wrong thing to hear. God wants us to hear it all. But there are some problems with our hearing. And Jesus, as usual, tells us and gives us the best example of that is in a story or an illustration. It's called the illustration of the sower. Farmer goes out, he's casting some seeds out. In that day and time, they didn't have planters. They broadcast seeded it. In other words, he had a big bag, and he would walk down through it, and he would just throw out seeds, and they would land on top of the ground. And he tells us some of those seeds fell on different types of soil. Again, just like Jennifer was telling us with the kids. I want to tell you at the beginning, the farmer represents God in this story. The seed represents what God wants to say to us, or his word, whichever way you want to look at that. And the soil represents your heart and my heart, your mind and my mind. And he tells us that there are four kinds of soils. If we want to hear God speak to us, we have to make sure that we have the right kind of soil. Here's the first one. If we want to hear from God, I must cultivate an open mind. I've got to cultivate an open mind. I've got to be receptive. I've used that word receptive several times in everything we talk about. My phone has to be receptive to the text messages. The sound system has to be receptive, has to be tuned in. You and I have to be tuned in to God if we want to hear him. We have to have an open mind. Verse 5 says, a farmer went out and sowed his seed, and as he was scattering his seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air came and ate it up. We understand this one. We don't necessarily have it so much in this day and time, but we still understand it. Wherever that farmer is walking, he starts pressing down the dirt. It becomes the pathway. It becomes the walkway. And that ground is not broken up. It's not cultivated anymore. It's packed down. The soil, this soil represents, I said we have to cultivate an open mind. This soil represents a closed mind. And what I mean by closed mind, I mean one that says, I'm not even open to hearing what God has to say to me. Now that's pretty arrogant, amen? But we are like that at times. We say, God, I just don't want to hear it right now. And let me tell you something. When you tell God that, he is a gentleman and he says, okay. You don't have to listen to what I say. You have a choice. There are consequences for those choices. But you have that ability to close your mind. I got thinking about a pathway. What is the two characteristics of a pathway? It's hardened ground and it's usually narrow. Does that remind you of anybody that you know? That their mind is hardened and narrow? We run into people like that all the time. Very quickly, and I don't remember if I left a blank for you on this or not, there are some barriers, things that make us hardened and narrow. Pride is one. Fear is another one. And bitterness. Bitterness is probably the biggest one that hardens our heart and makes our minds narrow. And we have to cultivate that. We have to get rid of that. We have to plow it up. Now, for each one of these things, we're going to talk just a little bit about the benefit of saving just a few moments. What happens? How do you cultivate soil? What do you have to do to it to cultivate it? Let me keep going until it dawns on everybody. What kind of implement do you have to use? That's right. You have to till it. You have to turn it up. You have to break it up. You have to mix it all up, don't you? Now, I never really hear the ground complaining about it, but I would think if I was ground, that might not be the most comfortable thing in the world. It's the best thing for it. I understand that. But you have to break it up, cultivate it. So the first thing that we have to do to hear from God, we have to work against what that soil represents, and that means we have to cultivate an open mind. Number two, the second thing that we have to do, if I want to hear from God, then I have to take time to listen. I have to take time to listen. Parents, how many of y'all get way bent out of shape when your kids don't do this? That's one of our pet peeves, isn't it? When I'm talking to you, listen to me. But how many times to God do we not? We get so busy, we are running so much. I got thinking about it. If you were going to take a trip and you wanted to go all through France, you could fly. But you would miss a lot of the details, wouldn't you? You'd see maybe the big picture, but you'd miss a lot of the details. How about if you took a train through France? You'd see a few more things, wouldn't you? But it's still going fast. How about a car? Probably see more things than you did in the plane and the train. But how about if you walked all of France? Then you're going to see every little detail, aren't you? My point is speed and going and moving, we miss the details when we get in a hurry. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell y'all, the thing that I struggle with, and I would guess you struggle with, is we get way, way too busy. And we want to hear God. We want to do what God says. But yet when we have this quiet time, we get in a big hurry. Luke 8:6 says, "This seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. And the seed began to grow, but it soon withered and died for lack of moisture." See, that country has a great deal of rocks, and it has just a little bit of dirt on the cut over them. And yes, the seed would start to grow roots, but it never was able to get those roots down deep. This is really representing a shallow or a superficial mind. When we have not a closed mind, like the first soil, but like the second soil, we have a shallow or a superficial mind. In other words, we hear the things, we act to it, we get emotional about it, we like the way it sounds, and it stirs something within us, it gives us this warm, fuzzy thing, and we walk out the door, and it never transforms us. And it says it's just like this soil. It hits rock. Verse 13, the rocky soil represents those who hear the message with joy, but like young plants in such soil, their roots don't go very deep. They believe for a while, but then they wilt when the hot winds of testing blow. If you don't have roots going down deep, heat is going to come, the wind is going to blow, and what's going to happen? I had a little bit more to share with you right there, but I'm going to skip on over to number 3. We have to cultivate an open mind. We have to take time to listen. And then number 3, we want to hear from God. We've got to eliminate some distractions. This one is pretty common in your life and my life today, isn't it? It's what Jennifer was telling our kid, the children about the weeds that grow up in our lives. Let me ask you all something. How much effort do you have to put into growing weeds? They just grow by themselves, don't they? And they're very productive. And if you let them go, they will dominate the whole area. As a matter of fact, when you see weeds, I'm just being honest with y'all, I never drive down the road and see a yard with a bunch of weeds and go, "My goodness, that is a good-looking yard of weeds." Never said that, have y'all? When you see that, you think, "My goodness, those people aren't taking care of that yard at all, are they?" Weeds are always an indication of neglect. And when you get weeds in your life, it's because you're neglecting time with God. See, God is a great gardener. He knows how to care for a garden. He knows how to take care of a garden. Back to that first soil I was talking about, how do you have to cultivate it? What does God have to do to, to cultivate soil that I said he uses a plow and everything. The other thing I forgot about it and just dawned on me again is he uses water, doesn't he? You see, God loves you enough. He's not going to let you sit with a packed, hardened, pathway heart. He'll send a storm. Same thing with the weeds. God's not going to let you just keep going and be a weed producer. He's going to bring some things in your life that causes those weeds to get pulled. And I don't think that, well, I know that's not fun, is it? This verse has so much in it, but I don't want to keep you longer than what I need to. It said, the word here is, they are choked. That word choked means literally stressed out. That pretty well describes most of our society today, isn't it? Stressed out. It's because we got so much stuff. We need to get de-weeded. What are some things? What are some weeds that come in our lives? I know I left you those blanks, so I'll give you that. Worry is a weed. Riches is a weed. We can let it become one. Pleasure can be a weed. And by that I mean, I'm not saying that God is not into fun. God's the one that created pleasure. God's the one that made us where we can enjoy pleasure. But we can take good things and they can become weeds, can't they? I love what Rick Warren says. He says, it's a whole lot easier to get in something than it is out of something. If you don't believe that, just look at your calendar. It's a whole lot easier to get committed to do something than to be able to complete it and get other things on that calendar. Sometimes we need to understand this soil just represents our preoccupied minds. We get so busy with everything else that we don't hear from God. And here's the fourth one, the good soil. If I want to hear God, I have to cooperate with what he says. I've got to obey him. I've got to do what he says. Verse 15, the seed that fell on the good soil stands for those who hear the message and retain it, and a good and obedient heart, and they persist until they bear fruit. We were talking about this in our Sunday school class this morning. What's it harder to be, to have a heart for those who are in need or to give a hand to those who are in need? We were talking about that sometimes the hardest thing is our heart. Sometimes we want to go to God and say, well, if you'll let me know what you want me to do, then I'll give you my answer, yes or no. And I shared with him, I said, if that's what you're going to do, God's just going to go, no, you do your own thing then. See, God gives information. God gives direction to those who have already decided they're going to follow what God says. My father-in-law, I can't tell you how many years I sat where you sat and he stood where I'm sitting, and I listened to him use that illustration about a blank check. At invitation time, in the sermons, I heard him say it 100 times, I bet. And that is that what we have to do is we basically sign a blank check to God and we turn it over to God and say, now you fill out the amount and to who. That's what this is talking about. We must obey. You want to hear what God has to say? You have to tell him, I'm going to obey whatever it is you tell me to do. If not, you wind up wandering. Now, I used to think that these were different people. I've come to realize since then that it's not different. Every one of us can have this different soils in our lives at any given point in time. That's why God gives us those examples about how and what we need to do to be able to hear him. I want to close with, and I want to change just a little bit, because I found this morning. I knew the story, or part of the story. I didn't know the whole story, I don't guess. I've told y'all before that the biggest topped money earning albums that Elvis Presley ever did were gospel albums. And then I read this morning. You might have seen it on Facebook to this morning as well, but I wanted to share it with you. And he was talking about following what God tells him to do. Said, following an Easter service in 1958, Elvis asked that pastor at that time, he wanted to talk to him, and he told him, when he got him alone, he said, "I am the most miserable young man you've ever seen. I've got all the money I'll ever need to spend. I've got millions of fans. I've got friends. But I'm not doing what you taught me to do. I'm not doing the things you taught me to do right." Elvis later on goes on to tell his friend Pat Boone. He said, "I wish I could go to church like you do." Pat Boone said, "Well, you can go to church anytime you want." He said, "No. Every time I go, it's such a distraction. Everybody wants autographs or this or that or the other, and the whole service becomes a disruption, and I feel like the preachers don't want me there." He said, "I felt like I couldn't go anywhere." This is Elvis talking. "I felt like I couldn't go anywhere in public. I was sort of imprisoned. I felt like I was public enemy number one instead of the king of rock and roll." Then December 1976, Elvis requested that an evangelist and his wife come and visit with him backstage. He gives this account. He said, "Jesus is coming back real soon, isn't he, Pastor?" The minister said, "Yes." And he goes on to say, he said, "I can't believe," quoting all the passages, Elvis was quoting all the passages he was quoting, and about Jesus' second coming, he said, "I never realized he had that much spiritual depth." He said, "But it really shocked me that he knew the old and the new and about the Lord's return." And then they kind of got alone and spent some time praying and talking about one another. And this is what the man said, the evangelist said. He said, "I could see he was reaching back to his childhood when he used to play his guitar and go to church and sing church songs. I could see he was reaching back to the past, that spiritually feeling that he had years and years before that was planted in his heart." So what really shook up Elvis was during their time together, his wife prayed for him and then said, she said, "I pray that you are a Bell sheep." And Elvis asked her, he said, what's a Bell sheep? And she explained, she said, "A Bell sheep is one sheep that when they want to move all the sheep, they put this bell on this sheep and this sheep will follow them wherever they need to go. They can give it direction. It'll follow direction. And all of the other sheep will follow it." She said, "For years, my prayer has been that you would be a Bell sheep." They prayed. He asked for some other guidance. And then he went out and he did that evening show. And that evening show was the one that you see on YouTube right now, where he sings, "How Great Thou Art." That was the last public performance for Elvis Presley. He needed some help in learning how to hear God. You and I need some help in learning how to hear from God. He says you have the possibility of those four types of soil in your life. But you want to be the one that produces the most fruit? Then if you notice on the very bottom of your page, I've given you four words: hear, retain, obey, and persist. That's the secret. We need to hear what he has to say. We need to retain it. That's what that passage tells us at the very end about the soil that produced the most. We need to hear, obtain, obey, and persist. That's the best I have for you this morning, y'all. In the midst of this spiritual battle that we are going through, communication is vital. And I'm here to be honest with you, tell you the honest truth. You are going to get beat up if you don't hear from the commander and you don't obey him and you don't persist with what he tells you to do. It's up to each of us, isn't it? Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment?